Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickboxing Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I try to upload an episode to that once a week, once every other week. I got busy this past holiday season, but now I'm back going into the 2019 year. The other way to listen to the podcast show is to enter Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine, and the show pops right up. Also getting into this, and definitely I'm excited, this episode is a year in review about what went down in the 2018 year in kickfighting, both kickboxing and Muay Thai. I am excited to bring you some of the best action. I actually, most of this will be off of a listener request. I posted on Twitter and I posted on Facebook for people to message me and for people to make their lists, and I'm just going to kind of go off of that. A lot of people know that I work for Glory Kickboxing, so, you know, sometimes when I make a comment, I don't want you to think that I'm doing it just because of the position that I'm in. I really do want to reflect what I think is the best kickboxing and Muay Thai action, and I'm going to go ahead and just pretty much go off of the list given to me by the people who voted, both on Twitter and both in messages to me through Facebook. So I'm excited to jump right into it. I'm going to go ahead and go off of the news of the year. And the news of the year, it's got a lot of different aspects to it. I'll go ahead and do the things that I feel were all things that were mentioned. And the one that I think is, you know, the biggest, because in this particular situation, the biggest news was actually really, really obvious for this past year. Muhammad Jiraiya signing to Glory Kickboxing. That was one of the bigger news events of the past year. And the reason why, of course, Jiraiya had all those, episodes as he was leaving. Or I won't say as he was leaving, but in his last days with working in Fusion. First, we're talking about a kid who is a super talent. I mean, the combination and kick flow is amazing. When he gets into his offense, he was just absolutely wonderful. The question, of course, everybody has as you watch him is, where will he settle weight class-wise? A lot of people feel that he's probably better at 70 kgs, especially when you look at how he walks around at 77 kgs. But he's so, you know, he's aggressive. He wants to bring the fight to you. His style is a little bit different. He plays looking for power shots a lot more, whereas before he played into his combo flow a lot as in the smaller weight classes. So you have this guy who has all this talent who came up and he, you know, really burst on the scene 16, 17 years old fighting on, you know, Infusion rookies. And then he becomes this megastar. He's in these awesome, he was in back-to-back fights of the year, one with Norden Ben Mo, another one with Typhoon Oskin, and he just brought it. But they kept moving the weight class up for the tournament for Infusion, and people wonder if fighting at 72.5 kgs was the best for him. And then he had, you know, some losses, and then, of course, he had the situation where he had him and his camp got into it with some judges and the ref. It just was a whole big deal. But after it was all said and done, after talking to, you know, legal counsel and so on, he settled in with a different team. He's now training out in Utrecht, a Coliseum gym, got good people around him, got the training, and then he decided that he was going to sign with Glory Kickboxing. And it was really, really exciting news, and it was one of the bigger news stories at the beginning of the year. Also, Badahari made his return. He fought in that same debut card back in February. It's always news when Badahari fights. A lot of people get on him, you know, as far as how his performance was as he came back and he fought Hezzy Higgins. And they're like, man, what was this? What was his performance? And I could be remembering that wrong in my mind. I'm pretty sure that was the date. Part of me wonders if I'm thrown off. Apologize if I'm wrong on the date on that one for Badahari. But, you know, anytime Badahari fights, it's always must-see TV. He's very, very important to kickboxing. And, you know, even as we speak, let me double-check on that. Okay, I was correct. I just went and just looked it up real quick. That was not February. It was actually early March that he had that fight with Hezzy Higgins. Always big news whenever Badahari fights because he's such a draw. Like, everybody in kickboxing wants to see him. Him and Hezdy, of course, have the history. Remy Bonjasky was the first person to take the kick after he'd gone down. Hezdy was the second one to receive that. So in this fight, when they came in there, I think Hezdy was determined that he was going to bang it out with them. And I thought that strategy wise, but I already played a kickboxing game. And a lot of people were like, man, where does he stand? Is he still the same guy? Is this version of him going to beat Rico? But the thing is, the news is there. And anytime he fights, people always want to know what's next for him. When's he going to get in there again? He really is a once in a lifetime generational star in terms of attention as a sports figure in kickboxing. So anytime Bader does anything, it's news. So definitely wanted to add that. Other news, this one is just for me personally. You know, I'll go ahead and I added this one to the list because I wasn't sure where to put this. But Nung Oh returns and beats Fabio Pinca on a one championship card. And let me tell you something about Nung Oh. He's, of course, a super talent. He's a super talented guy. He's got one of the meanest body kick games you're ever going to see in your life. But the distance of the greatness that he showed in the fight with Fabio Pinca just blew me away. Like, for me, him returning from being out of the game for 3 years and getting in there, and as soon as he fought, I literally felt like I'm watching one of the pound-for-pound best fighters in the world, talent-wise. Because, man, is this guy good. He is so good. It just... to come back to the game and still be that superior, because we're not talking about anybody. Fabio Pinca is beating high-level guys at multiple weight classes. And he gets in there and he just, Pinca's bigger than him, and he just absolutely, not even close, does great work with body kick and his boxing and his movement, and he took very little damage, and just, you could see the frustration in Pinca. Almost like, when Pinca's frustrated, it's never like man, I can't get into my offense, or if we just score this shot. It's never that. He literally looks like, I can't believe how good this guy is. that literally is kind of the kind of look that he had. And I felt what Fabio Pinca was thinking. I was like, I can't believe how good Nung Oh is. Nung Oh's return, definitely news for me. Charlie Peters beats Liam Harrison. That's a big deal. And the reason why it's a big deal for me, and shout out to K1 Anoop, who did a good job of breaking this down from a lot of different angles. So hit up K1 Anoop on both Twitter and Facebook and his YouTube channel. But Charlie Peters is a guy who, you know, before he started his career, Liam Harrison was the guy, you know what I'm saying? And he stayed the guy for a long time. And every time Liam Harrison would fight, I remember I brought it up. Whenever he'd go against someone from England, I'd say, hey, even if you lose, you had to try. Because Liam Harrison has been the guy since he was like 18, 19 years old. At some period of time, someone had to dare to be great and take that fight. But if you kept looking at all the fights for I would say there were a lot of organizations that came and went, so I can't get on too much. But I'd say that the big one that I thought was Yacou. I thought at some period of time, Yacou would be the organization where someone was like, I'm going to step up and take it. I think it happened a couple of times. Most of the time, he would end up fighting an international tie. Like that was a tie who was taking an international trip up to fight him in England. And then win, lose, or draw. I think he had lost to some elite guys. But Harrison put himself out there to go against the best ties in the world because he had already cemented himself as the best guy in England. And then every 3 years, somebody would try and then lose. And then you remember that Liam was great. But at some period of time, someone's got to step up and say, I think I can beat this guy. Charlie Peters was that guy. Came out, did a good job with the boxing. I thought that he scored good. Kick Fu was there in spots, but I think the difference was his boxing. I thought the boxing did really good from rounds one and two. I thought Liam Harrison started to build what Liam does. The low kicks got going in round three and four. And then I think towards the end of four and in five, the boxing and the movement was really good for Charlie Peters. He gets the win, and it's a big deal because beating Harrison was the guy for so long. So still both guys doing well. I mean, Harrison fought fought in one championship. He debuted not too long ago, so he's still doing it. Peters also fighting in one championship. So we'll see more from these guys moving down the road. Clearly the biggest news, despite the result of the bout, was Mayweather versus Tenshin Nasukawa. Unchallenged, it was the biggest news in kickboxing. Not even close. If you look at how people responded to this, people who didn't know who Tenshin Nasukawa was, all of a sudden you see his name all over the place on Google because people are trying to figure out who this guy is. And it clearly was killed the moment that you found out that it was going to be boxing rules. Because it really, really sucks for Tenshin because he's already way smaller. He's like 25 pounds lighter than... you know, than Mayweather. And I think on that fight day, maybe even 30 pounds lighter. Mayweather did not look like the in-shape guy who's been fighting world-class guys for the last, you know, 25. I mean, he's better than the guys, but still, you know, some of those guys were world champions that he'd been fighting and very, very popular. Mayweather did not look like that body frame. He looked like he'd been chilling for a little bit, trained to get this opportunity, and did what he does. He's definitely still Mayweather. So when I look back on that performance, and I go, man, Mayweather physically was so much bigger than him. For them to make it only boxing was even less of an advantage for tension. So as far as the actual bout, I kind of just disregard that in terms of the news. The news for me, kickboxing-wise, was the idea that this up-and-coming young prospect, 20 years old, who had already been in, you know, some of the fights of the year, he'd already been in wars, he'd had some of the craziest KOs you've ever seen, a special, special kickboxing talent, Rizin decided they were going to put this together with the biggest boxing name and highest paid combat sports athlete of all time. They were able to put the news together, and a fight came about through it. So just that connection was a big deal. That was huge news in the kickboxing community. So shout out to Tension. I mean, clearly we'll see what happens next, because we all know how that event went down. But the excitement around the news is why I'm talking about it. So many people, I don't care what your Facebook, people who had no idea who Tension was, were commenting on this. And that's huge, huge news. So I'm going to move on from news of the year to, again, all this is stuff that I've gotten from my Twitter wall. That was a message to me. These are all names. I'm going to go ahead and go to Breakout Star. Had a lot of different options for Breakout Star. He'd been doing it for a while, but, you know, Muhammad Massari, who I mentioned the show before, who had his glory debut, under his nickname Hamicha, he is a talent. He is a talent. Had a huge, huge KO win in his debut. Is definitely excited to see that. Charles Rodriguez had a 3-0 year in glory this past year. Came out, did a good job against Brian Bruns. Took him a little bit to get going, because I think that first one was on, you know, that fight came together later, 2 weeks, 3 weeks out. He got on the card and, you know, made weight, and he went ahead and put on a solid performance for his debut. And then he had two other fights, one in Denver where he showed a good combo low kick game. He attacks both the thigh and the calf, gets a win there. And then he fights in New York and puts on a really good performance. So definitely shout out to Charles Rodriguez. He had a really, really good year. Trey Jones also had a good year. Trey Jones not just had his glory debut back in March where he gets a win. Shows, you know, good boxing, good overhand. He got a good kick and movement game, gets a win there. Has a huge, awesome elbow KO win on Friday Night Fights in New York. I think that happened 2 months afterwards. Had another KO win fighting in the hometown in Minnesota. Good stuff there. Then returns to glory on a, you know, multi-deal contract. And he ends up with one of them, and I'll talk about later, the KO of the Year candidates with a win over Green. And then some injuries ended up making him the tournament champion. So shout out to Troy Jones, big time year in 2018. Asa Ten Pao, of course, he had a big year too. He won on the Triumphant earlier in the year, starts off the year with a big win over in Triumphant, moves from that win to get his glory contract, has a debut in New York, gets a KO stoppage to the body in that debut. Good stuff there. After we get the KO win from him and with the body shots, he goes out to China, gets another win, and then he finishes the year with a win on Glory New York in November. So Asa Ten Pao, a truly, truly fun talent to watch. Really, really excited that he had the year that he had. Another guy, Carlton Liu, he's a rising star only because there's not a bigger platform for him. Even though he's doing good things with the Muay Thai Grand Prix. Like, he's doing good stuff there in England. But, man, he's winning, and he's consistent. He is so tough. The babyface assassin, that guy's good. So these are just some of the breakout stars. There's more, but this is just, I'm going off the list that people have gave me and the names that people sent out. One person did send me Tenzin Nasukawa, but for me, it wasn't a breakout year for him this year like I thought it was in 2017. I thought that was the year that was his breakout year. But good stuff by these fighters, and of course, more new names to emerge as the years go on. So from there, I'm going to go to upset of the year. We had some candidates. Again, I got these. These were pretty much all sent in, all off Twitter. Pompeyuk versus Muller. A lot of people, Muller got the I mean, Pompeyuk, of course, is doing his thing in the stadium. So anytime there's a big win, Muller getting the win there, that's a big deal. That is a huge deal. But at the same time, because it wasn't in one of the major stadiums, and because I'm trying to remember, I can't remember if it was TIE Fighter or Max Muay Thai, but it was still a huge upset. So shout out to Muller there. Anissa Mexen versus JD Menezes and Glory. Clearly, this one comes with controversy. Mexen, of course, one of the all-time greats in kickboxing. She's fought everyone that there is pretty much to fight in her weight class, and she's been doing it for a long time. It's just how the judges kind of scored it that night in Denver. So a lot of people disagree with kind of how that went down. In the end, she went ahead, trained hard, came back, and got a stoppage victory over Menezes when they did the rematch in New York in November a few months later. But for that one night, JD Menezes came away with the championship and was the talk of good or bad, or however you felt about good or bad feelings towards the decision. She was the champion that night, and that is a huge upset in the history of kickboxing. So shout out to JD. Good for her. She had that night. She had that moment, and then Mexen got her back. I mean, it's just that's the game. You want that from your elite people. Judges' decisions don't go that way. Go out there and prove it in the next one, and that's kind of how this went down. So good stuff by both ladies. Daniel Younga loses to McSweeney by a spinning back fist. And let me tell you something. James McSweeney's been in this game for a long time. And clearly, if you see his name at this stage in his career, because he's such a veteran, he's capable to land something that could get him a win. But he's fought MMA. He's fought, kickboxing, anything to get a paycheck. He's a hard worker. Daniel Younga winning the fight, doing his thing, dominating with the kickboxing flow, spinning back fist, catches him, KO. The promotion was done in his town, so they were giving him enough time to get to his feet. It's just the shot was just so stunning and just out of nowhere, and he got up and he stumbled and went down, and they called it big time. KO upset for McSweeney. And then this is the one that most people sent me on Twitter. Randy Hiramoto gets a KO victory over Kyle Fairtex. I understand why they say it. Because not that Ren won. Because, he's a good kickboxer. I could see him pulling off the upset. Not that he won. But the way that he won, he came out, he hurt him, and he stopped him. Dropped him twice, if I remember correctly, and gets the big KO. Shout out to Ren Hiramoto. That was awesome. Because Kyle Fairtex he had one of the better runs in the last 3-4 years. And that period of time, he was stumbling. He had a weird 2018. At the beginning of 2018, I'm wondering on the podcast, where's the guy that came out there and dominated the tournaments and was one of the better guys? Then all of a sudden loses to Nori, loses to Ren, goes to China and loses. It's just to Ji Quinbang, if I'm remembering correctly. I just think that it just didn't come together for him. And end of the year, gets into a tournament for K1, wins the tournament. So it's like just the ups and downs of this game. You keep working hard, you keep trying hard, your opportunity comes back. That's what I talked about with Mexen. Didn't go her way in the scorecards, just hit the gym, upset, of course, in the beginning. Hits the gym, gets a KO victory, that belt's right back on her waist. So you just got to keep going with it. Next breakdown I want to do is I will go ahead and go with KO of the year. A lot of choices here. Koya Rube gets a KO over Wei Ru. This one was big just because Wei Ru had that run in the tournament, and Koya Rube was kind of the champion outside of the tournament when the two met. Rabe made it clear that he was the better guy. Gets the stoppage victory. Good stuff by Koya Rube. Troy Jones with the head kick over Green. I mentioned it before. The head kick it wasn't just that it was such a clean, awesome head kick, but it also, in America, SportsCenter is our big sports news media outlet. And Troy Jones, a kickboxer, got the number one spot on ESPN, which is extremely difficult to do. I think we've been on it like four times in my memory. So good stuff by Trey Jones getting that number one spot. And he did it in September, you know, so there's it would have been tougher if it was like a Saturday where you got college football to compete with and so on. But, you know, he had football and basketball and some other things to compete with. So shout out to Trey Jones. Gets that high kick victory. And he's the number one on SportsCenter that night. So he's on KO of the year. Guan Fong's KO over Sitchman with some violent stuff. Pet Pomerung's head kick over Esbiri was just as perfectly placed. Not just perfectly placed, but that performance was mean. Like, everything about that offense was so aggressive and so right after him. I mean, it just, Petch came out, put in a great performance, and he cemented it with the high kick. Good stuff for Petch Pomerung. And then this is the one that most people tweeted in as their KO of the year. Murat Grigoryan KOing Superbon in the first round back in January. So I had to go all the way back to January for the KO of the year in 2018. This is the one that most people mention because Superbon's good. You know what I'm saying? He was coming off of a loss, you know? So it's not like he just lost to Andy Samalier the month before in the tournament in Dubai for Infusion. So when these two met in China, so it's not like he was riding the highest note, but he was still fighting elite guys. He's still beating elite guys, and he wasn't getting stopped by anybody. So when he took that shot, that right hand that put him away, just as awesome as it comes. It just shows why Grigoryan is that deal. So that is the one that the fans picked as KO of the year. So looking at this list, I will do Event of the Year next. Event of the Year had a lot of different, you know, options, a lot of different people weighing in. The Infusion Dubai event had a lot of good stuff because it had all their stars. Unfortunately, Andy Semelier was injured after he won his first round, and then Marant Tutu moved forward. He's, again, one of their stars. Superbond ended up winning it, and Elric Bokome, he ended up winning on that card over Philip Vlindelin. It was one of their better cards. Complete had all their stars. Sarah DeJong, who would be considered by most to be the female fighter of the year, one of the stars of the year in kickboxing, definitely for Infusion. She got a win on that card. So really they had their stars on the card and they all showed up and did good things. Very, very important. You know, as I was looking at Infusion's cards, I went all the way back to the Ozkind victory over Sauer, and I realized, no, that card was good, but it wasn't as star-packed as the Dubois card. So good stuff for Infusion. Then we move from there. We go to Kunlun 75. So Kunlun 75, of course, Kunlun, a lot of you guys know they were doing a tournament all year. And the tournament was one of their better offerings. And again, they have been consistent with putting on shows, but they just hadn't been doing a good job about giving us a roadmap. This past year was their best job of, hey, not only are we going to give you winners, we're going to give you people that you've been following along with, people who are, you know, we're going to give you a roadmap. This is the tournament. Shout out to Kixie on Twitter, who really did a good job of showing this week by week so that I could keep up with it, because they really did have a lot of stuff that even I couldn't follow. But their best card for me was the KLF card that took place, I think I have it for August. I can't remember the exact, but these are the stars that it had, and these are the people who got victories that day. Artem Peshporin, he's one of the guys that they've been using for a long time. Marant Tutu, talked about him. He got a victory over Nicholas Larson, two names that you are familiar with. Tutu lost to Semelier, as I mentioned before, in the Dubai tournament, so that's a name. David Kiria beat Anatoly Moiseev, names that you know. Norden Ben Mo gets a victory over Sergei Kulubai. Zanis Zuev gets a victory over Victor Nagby. Yuya Yamada gets a victory over Liu Jiangbo. Hu Gung-ho gets a victory over Bojan Zepina. So these are, Nayanesh Ayam got a victory over Jay Zhou. This card I felt had its most significant international names that people are familiar with. And then one that I forgot was Vlad Tuanov gets a victory over Ismail Banali. Now, again, this tournament broke down. This is not the winners of the tournament. This is very, you know, earlier in the, you know, the season for a lot of these weight classes. Superman was supposed to be in this card. He was not able to do it, and that fight was postponed. But I definitely wanted to pay attention or give recognition to the card because, man, it was one of their bigger cards. They did a really good job with the event that particular day. So back to the card, Glory New York. Glory 55 was a lot of fun for me to be there. That was when Asa Tenpal made his Glory debut, with the body shot victory. Cedric Dombe got his introduction to the USA. He got a KO victory that night. Now, a lot of people will also remember that because they weren't as high on the fight with Patch Padmarone and Kevin Nordstrand. Like, Twitter wise, they weren't as popular, or they weren't as big a fan of that particular fight. But because the main event delivered in such a big way with the Alex Pereira KO, I just thought that top to bottom, that was a lot of fun to be there. Big time card. Glory 62 with their heavyweight tournament. We talked about the Hamita debut. We had good fights throughout. And of course, we have the big heavyweight tournament won by Ben Sadiq. So definitely Glory 62 on this list. K1 had several shows, but the K-Festa show, as far as Twitter goes, that was the one that most people voted on. First of all, I had 25 fights. Like 25, 26 fights. It was a long, long night. It had Ronald Bernard getting victory over Antonio Pazabat. Very, very good stuff. Very high level. That is your heavyweight division. Yuta Kubo, he's getting, he got a victory in this card. Takuro wins a tournament, and he's your huge star. Chingiz Alazov, he's your champion at super welterweight. He gets a KO victory over Hinata. Masaki Nori gets a victory over Tetsuya Yamamoto. Ren Hiramoto got the upset victory over Ku. Wesserek, or Fairtex. Koya Rube gets a knockout over Wiru, as we mentioned before. You see, Yoshiki Takai gets a victory by KO over Kenji Kubo. And then Takuro, he even won the tournament with the KO. I think the reason why people were so high on this card was because it was all of your stars. Because even Kana was on this card, and she got a victory, 30-26. She scored a knockdown. Even she was on this card, and all of your stars for the promotion showed up and showed out. So I think that's why people love this card so much. That's why everyone on Twitter kept bringing up K-Festa, because it was the best of everything. It gave you good action, KOs, the elite versus the elite, and most importantly, if you're a promotion and you say, hey, I want people to watch it because of these people, those people did their job. So that's why people were so high on that one. Going to go ahead and go into, I just got a couple more to break down. First of all, let's talk about something that was consensus. Taiwan Chai, PK Sang Chai, Muay Thai Gym was your Sports Authority Thailand Fighter of the Year. I didn't see one person that gave anyone else Fighter of the Year in Thailand other than Taiwan Chai. He was awesome this past year. Go ahead. I'm going to give you this name, Tawanchai. And I sat down and I'm putting together the kickboxing, the year in kickboxing highlight like I normally do. And if I break it down, I'm looking at this guy's fights and I'm like, man, this guy is amazing. And I think when I look back on it, and this year I'll try to do a better job of it at least once a month, I've got to get a good breakdown of what's going down in the stadiums. When I revisited it and I was putting in the highlights, I'm looking at KOs, I'm looking at performances, Taiwan Chai was absolutely awesome. So excited that he had a big year and excited that it was a unanimous. I didn't see one other, I thought I was going to see some for Kulabdan. And Kulabdan, another person that I should mention for KO of the year over Muay Thai, because Muay Thai is such an immovable force. So when he got that KO, that was definitely good stuff there. So I thought that his name would come up, but it did not. Everyone went with Taiwan Chai. So shout out there. So I'll go ahead and wrap it up with Fighter of the Year and Fight of the Year. Go ahead and start with Fight of the Year. Tenshin against Rod Tong. This one's really, really popular. It came up on a lot of people's lists. Most people, the time it happened, they loved it. But a lot of people said robbery. And I think it's the I won't use the word tension. I'll say it is the dissension. How many different people had different views on it that made the fight so popular? I think that that's why it came up. Rikuya Yamazaki was just kind of an all-action kill fest. Fumiya versus Nakamura, also a very good back and forth. Tiffany Van Susk and Sophia Olsen, a style clash. Tiffany landed, as you heard me say on the show before, the sexy shots, the ones that pop your head back, the ones that kind of get the crowd to ooh and ah. Whereas Olsen, after really trying to be heavy with her switch kick in round one, she switched up the game in round two and just pressured and boxed and boxed and boxed and just threw as many strikes as she could. Didn't have the most power, but she didn't stop throwing. So that's what made that fight so entertaining, so excellent. So Olsen gets a victory. Olsen and Van Susk get mentioned. Van Susk got the victory that night. Olsen, you know, definitely won the hearts of a lot of people. It's their first time seeing him. Christian Baia versus Josh Johnsey was one that I saw on someone's list. Johnsey, of course, all action kickboxer. Baia, just the style clash. And this is the second one. This is the second time they fought. Johnsey, who, you know, took it down in the first fight, this time he heard Baia in the third after really entertaining back and forth low kick affair. Good stuff there. Yamazaki Hayashi, Sergey Musabladzev against Antonio Pazabat. Very, very good fight. One of the best technical fights that, you know, light heavyweight that you're going to see. So those were the ones that were mentioned. And as I mentioned before, Tenshin versus Rod Tang was the one that came up the most on most people's list. So good stuff all over the place. Good kickboxing all over the place. Good stuff by all the viewers. And we finish with Fighter of the Year. So these are just the names that came up. Unchallenged, the two names that came up the most were Sitichai and Petch Panarone. Unchallenged. They came up the most. Takuru got love. He always does because, you know, he is still the war master and he brings it every single fight. Tenshin got love because he was undefeated in actual, you know, combat sports. Live sanctioned kickboxing. He's actually undefeated. He had a good year. Rico Verheerven went 2-0. Rico doing the Rico. But, you know, they're two decision victories, so I think that's why he didn't get as much love. Georgia Petrosian beating Alazov, that went a long way for a lot of people. You know, he had a couple wins outside of it, so Petrosian doing his thing. That's all said and good, but I think it's because Petch Panmarung, because he was so clear in his victory, I would say, this time around, and you know, the fight with Van Roosmalen. And Van Roosmalen was a little bit heavy, and they just decided they were going to do it anyways, and Petch ended up winning it. The KO that he got over Asperia early in the year, it's like he was dominant all the way through the title shot opportunity, and the Kevin Van Nordstrand victory. He had a big year. Sitichai, of course, he beat Murat, and he got the Johnsey victory, and just, he beat Baia earlier in the year, in February, I want to say. So those are the names that came up the most, Sitichai and Petch Panmarung. So I really think when I look back on this year in kickboxing, you guys will see it when you see my year in kickfighting, I do my best to break down the best of kickboxing action all the time. I really do. And I have my ups and downs, and I miss some events, and I catch some things later. And catching things live really do, it does a better job of giving you that feel. But every time I sit down and do my year in kickboxing highlight, which is coming out, it'll probably be 1 week from today, you'll probably see it. I'm always excited to bring you guys the highlight. And every time I do the highlight, it reminds me of how healthy kickboxing is. There are way more fights this year than there were the year before, than the year before that. And K1 in its heyday, when everybody thought kickboxing ruled the world, I'm telling you guys this. This is what I've been doing for a long time. I've been following, promoting kickboxing. I do this kickboxing podcast for free. I've been following this game for a long time. I assure you, there are more kickboxers making money in the sport today than there was in what we would consider the heyday of kickboxing. There are more people doing it. Now, in the stadium Muay Thai, definitely they're getting paid better in the 90s than they're getting paid now. But as far as the attention, as far as international appeal, I don't think everybody knew who the best Thai fighters were in the 90s. I think a lot of people know who Sanchai and Bukau are. You know what I'm saying? Like, just I think a lot of people know who Sitichai and, you know, Petch and guys who are doing kickboxing and Muay Thai from the Thailand. They're understanding who these people are better now. And you're getting people who are going to Thailand and having success, stuff that you've never seen before. So kickboxing, keep doing what you're doing. promoters keep putting on shows. Fighters keep sticking with this game and dare to be great. Dare to be great. Go ahead. Take yourself international. Go fight someone in their hometown. May not go your way, but find out that experience. That's what makes this game great. Go out there, fight, and I'll do my best to talk about your fight, showcase your talent, and push this sport forward. And I love this sport so much. God bless everyone. Have a good one. Peace.